Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Hawkeye, but specifically feedback for episodes 1 and 2. All that Immortal Versus said we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair today, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I am fantastic, guys. How are you?
So good.
Also fantastic.
So tired.
Yeah.
So tired. I don't know if you know this, but Spider-Man tickets went on sale this morning.
Right.
Oh, who else had a nightmare? Ugh, what a nightmare.
Right.
That was like endgame times. I was like, how dare they do this at midnight? Can we please keep it to the nice 10 a.m.?
Yeah. They do these things late so that less people get on, but it still had so many people on.
Everybody set their alarm.
They still crash the servers for every ticket ordering service.
Yep. I've actually very rarely seen that. That was pretty cool. Those tickets were crazy hard to get, and I'm glad I got mine 3 p.m. on that Thursday.
It's crazy that they're doing a 3 p.m. showing.
It really is.
On a Thursday, yeah.
On a Thursday. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm taking a half day that day.
I still kind of call that the midnight showing. Like, even though it's clearly not, like, because midnight showing my whole life meant the one you can go to the day before.
Right.
I'm going to the midnight showing. And, like, that's just the way I've always called it. So I still am like, oh, I'm going to the midnight showing at 3 p.m. The 3 p.m. midnight showing.
I'm going to the 3 p.m. midnight showing that is somehow getting matinee prices on the tickets.
Oh, did it get matinee prices?
25% off. Yeah.
Mine were $32 for both of them.
I love a good midnight matinee.
And that was still at five o'clock. That was the earliest show at ours was 5.
Wow.
That's intense.
But every other time it's been 6. There's never been a 5 o'clock.
Yeah, same.
I did the 3 p.m. one. I was like, okay, family not going to be able to make it. Kids are going to be in school. Wife's going to pick them up. So just me. Cool. One ticket. And then I went and looked at the next one, the like 7 o'clock. And I was like, that's when the family can go. And I hit the 7 o'clock and it was just like, oh, it's full. It's completely packed out. Oh, good. So then I look at the Friday showings and like school lets out early that day. So the kids should be out at like 1:15 or so. And so there's a 3 o'clock showing on Friday. I'm like, anybody opposed to going like after school lets out early to go see Spider-Man instead of seeing it on Thursday? This sounds good. Great. Cause those are the tickets I got. that's the only one. I went through all of them at like the 10 o'clocks and 7 o'clocks.
Wow.
And like everything was packed out. There was like the front row was available. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that shit.
No, that's crazy. You can't do that.
So the public service announcement to you guys is go get your tickets to Spider-Man. It is for sale. Get out there.
Take your kids out of school.
Yeah.
Check them out early.
They'll thank you for it. They'll remember that day forever.
It's very similar, actually, to we were just talking about how like they do these ticket sales late because some people aren't going to stay up to do it. So they can hopefully not crash things. But it's kind of similar. Having a 3 o'clock showing puts it into the workday. So there's just some part of the fandom that can't go at 3. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like that just like, I mean, like your kids, for instance, it's just interesting. Like it's a clever way of getting more people in to see it. Without like really, some people are going to see it twice. I would be seeing it twice if we weren't podcasting for sure. Oh, I might even still like if we podcast and I can get back out there.
We're going to have to do it quick so that you can get out to the 10 o'clock showing.
You might get those tickets now.
You need to commit to that right now because those tickets are
gone.
It's done.
You're probably right.
It's sold out.
Probably right. Probably had to see it in a couple days. Okay, well, let's talk about Hawkeye. We are here to talk about Hawkeye. Spider-Man up top, but let's talk about Hawkeye. We got a bunch of feedback, but Ash, you did not get to see do the live watch with us. What did you think of Hawkeye?
I had a really good time with it. Like, there's certain I don't love Christmas, but there's certain things about Christmas that I love, and one of those things are very select Christmas movies. Christmas lights, snow, and New York City. All of those things at Christmas are awesome.
Those boxes have been ticked here.
Yes.
Very select Christmas songs too, but yeah. I was like, okay, how dare you already like make me like this by making it a Christmas show? Okay, I can't. And then you go into a Broadway musical. And I just have to say, for all my Broadway people out there, if you didn't know Adam Pascal, who was like, when you came in, you heard this one guy singing over everybody. He was like New York guy number two. Adam Pascal played Roger in the first Broadway showing of Rent. Like, oh, he's okay. In the movie. He's like a very famous Brit Broadway star. And he was like front and center for the musical. He wasn't any of the Avengers. He was like the guy to the left. But it was like New Yorker number one who was like singing them in. And I know his voice immediately. And I'm sure anybody else who is into Broadway would have recognized Adam Pascal's voice. And I really appreciated that.
I was really curious. Okay. I should have looked into it. I was really curious who wrote the Broadway part. Because I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was like a cheesy overture song, but like, it was not bad, not horrible for a, like, I don't think it wasn't going for emotional depth for sure, but it was like, the music wasn't bad. I was like, that's pretty good. And that's a great hook. That would absolutely be a hook. I Can Do This All Day would be a total hook in any Avengers. Like, that would be Cap's song, right? Like, that's awesome. It's freaking awesome.
And I love the way that they did it. I Can Do This All Day. Like, it was so good.
Hulk smash. Hulk smash. Oh my God.
I want to watch it again just for that part.
But I also, they like, got me right in with how Clint is feeling. Like, I think the way he's like, his PTSD of it all and the way he's feeling, it almost feels like us. Like, we're going into this new phase. Like, all of our friends are gone and we're the only ones left. And we're looking forward to this like future thing. And it's really hard to, you know, get past all that. And, you know, I don't know. I thought it was like him seeing the, Thanos was right graffiti in the bathroom.
Oof. Yeah. That was rough. You bring it up, the PTSD. I think Jeff brought it up on the last episode. And like, it's funny that we've got, Jeff, you mentioned a while back when we found out this was going to be so Christmassy that they were trying to like redo Iron Man 3, but better. They were like actually going to try to revive the idea of a Christmas Marvel thing. But it's also a Christmas Marvel thing that happens right after an Avengers where someone lost a lot and they like have PTSD. So it is very much like
it's Iron doing Man it 3. Better.
Yeah. Just so far, I like it, but I like Iron Man 3 better. But
well, I like it. You're allowed to be incorrect.
It's very true.
Anyway,
that I am.
You know, Haley Steinfeld's contacts were distracting, but I enjoyed her as the character. I feel like the two of them are kind of like, they're not over actors, but they have that, like, when they're in scenes together, each one's trying to like outgoof the other. And I'm just like, okay, that's what kind of show this is. And I'm fine with that. Like, that is where they're trying to go. And it's fine. I really enjoyed her demolishing the school. I didn't understand like why, but I was like, okay, whatever. So we're kicked out.
It was a bet,
you know,
ring the bell with her archery.
Not a good idea. But we also, like, physics wise, like, would that really happen to the bell? Like, Ken and I had a long discussion about if that would have actually happened.
Well, I was like, maybe if it was a really old bell that doesn't get rung anymore.
It's never rung.
But it was the Stain Tower devoted to Obadiah Stain, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe.
Is that? Oh, I missed that. Then good. Let that fucker fall.
Right. But like.
It
can't be that old is my point. Like, it's not like a 200-year-old bell.
Like, I feel like if she was saying like, this was this 300-year-old bell and it's never rung, let's shoot an arrow at it. I don't know. I don't know. Not
if it's
the
never
point.
Been rung, then it's very likely rusted into place and it's far less likely that the arrow is going to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be a mobile bell for that to work. Like, the amount of force that would have to be applied to the rope in order to make that happen is immense.
Yeah, it's substantial. That it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, no, it's not something that we need to dwell on because it's going to make me mad.
But in her defense, like, I grew up, you know, in a household with just my mom, so I had to deal with all my mom's boyfriends, and I really appreciated the way. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, and she would always have that one that just thought they were so cool. And I'm like, oh, just get out of here. You know, like,
just stop.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on Team Frank. Is it his name? Is it Frank? What's his name?
No.
The boyfriend.
It's Jack.
Jack. I don't know why.
Jack.
I was like, I know it ends in like a K.
I definitely think the mom is the one behind everything.
Yeah, I do too. But I'm kind of Team Jack. I think like he's going to turn out to be like a sweet guy. And I don't know. I think he's like a villain in comics, but like... I have a feeling he's just a total misdirect and he's just trying to be a good stepdad. Mostly I just think that'll be really funny.
I hope so. He seemed nice, you know. If my mom brought home some rich guy, I guess we were supposed to assume he's like from a rich family, I would be the best stepdaughter you've ever seen. Oh, Jack, are we moving in next week? Let me pack my bags. Can I call you dad? Dad?
Can I call you dad yet? Yeah.
Can you sign these papers saying that I'm yours now?
Please.
Sweet.
I think one of like the lines I liked was when what's the mom? Vera Farmiga's name in it.
Vera Farmiga.
Farmiga.
Oh, mom. God. Yeah, her name is Mom.
Okay. When the mom was like, rich people, you know, like money, you're young and you're rich, which is why you just have this fearless outlook. I'm like, yeah, that's 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very Tony Stark.
I said the same thing. I said that she...
Oh, shit.
She is okay. No, it's fine. I think that's cool that we came to the same conclusion. Because
Matt likes it when you agree with him.
Yeah. I like when people support my feces. All right.
Did you say your feces?
Yeah. That's what you hear what you want to hear.
Gross.
I think they're good ideas. You hear feces.
Accurate. Eleanor Bishop is her name.
Eleanor. I never would have guessed that. She does not look like an Eleanor.
No, she doesn't.
She's a Lorraine. I love Pizza Dog, but it makes me upset because he doesn't have an eye and it's hard to look at. It makes me so sad. I'm like,
His name is Lucky.
Lucky.
Him not having an eye somehow just makes me love him so much more.
I love him so much, but
I love him so much.
Poor baby, I want to protect you.
Yeah.
And all the dogs of the world.
But the one-eyed ones especially. Like, you gotta protect them. Oh, man. My mom's roommate, caregiver person, has a dog that she adopted that is missing. One of its legs doesn't work, so it's like it runs on three legs. And then my dog comes over, and the first day it's there, stepped on the little dog's foot, and it's broke its other foot. So now
Quilliam.
I know
Quilliam J. Chompington.
Quilliam is such a jerk. So now it is hobbling around on the same side. One leg doesn't work, and one leg is in a gigantic cast. And it's just like, it looks so bad. And luckily it's healing well and it's supposed to make a full recovery on that leg. But man, that was rough.
That's rough.
Real rough.
That's real rough.
Poor little guy. Okay, let's get into the feedback. That's why we're here. We're going to talk about Hawkeye feedback. We got a few pages of it, so let's dive in.
Okay. I just want to say one thing about Lucky the Pizza Dog before we get into that. It was a little bit weird that Lucky the Pizza Dog was immediately the cleanest dog you've ever seen when the sprinklers came on. Like, dog was nasty, sprinklers come on, dog is perfectly clean and, like, blow-dried.
Yeah, have you ever seen a baby come out of a lady in a movie?
Oh, yeah. Here's this perfectly clean one-year-old.
Exactly. That's the same sort of pizza dog trickery that they're doing there.
Yeah, like, I don't buy it. Like, you had no soap or anything. His coat is far too shiny.
It's illustrious. Okay. Well, Ashley is going to go into her feedback cave and collect any live feedback. So please, chat, let us know if you have anything you want to say about Hawkeye. And we're gonna be covering the feedback from the that's been sent on all week. Give me one second, Jeff. Let me make this transition. So God. She can be in her pizza cave. What am I talking about?
My look down cave.
Yeah,
exactly. I want a pizza cave.
Oh, I would do anything for a Pizza Cave.
I would do anything for a Pizza Cave.
Even that.
I would do that for a Pizza Cave.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay. There's a few things I probably wouldn't do for a Pizza Cave.
Not many. Not many.
Not, it's, the list is short.
No.
Okay. Jeff O, let us with some feedback.
Erlen Mansfield sent us an email. Hi there, I'm Erlen. I'm from Oregon. I don't write it much, but since I drive a lot, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I will say, the Strand of Panda Network is by far my favorite.
Aww.
I put your network on par with the likes of New Rock Stars because of your engagement with fans and so much content. You guys truly created a great place where people can geek out and be themselves. Not many people can say that. In the case about Kate Bishop not being a well-rounded fighter, I wanted to say, as a martial artist myself, Matthew Fox is correct. It doesn't matter how much training you have. If you've never been in a real fight, it probably won't end well, and I think her fighting style was very realistic for her level of experience. I also wanted to point out the parallels of Hawkeye and Falcon. Both were noticed in the real world, but Clint got his dinner paid for at a fancy restaurant, and Sam couldn't get a loan to save his family business. I wonder if that was on purpose. Again, you guys are great. Keep it up.
Good points.
Ouch.
Thank you, Erlen. Thank you, thank you. That, first off, thank you for the very kind words about the network. That means
the world
to me. Yeah,
you got me all choked up.
Really, it really does. Like, this whole network is just about people having a place to come and hear people talk about things the way we like to, us geeks. So that means the world.
Us geeks.
Yeah.
And like putting us on, or saying that we're on par with New Rock Stars, like, you stop.
Yeah,
stop.
That's
quit lying.
That is very, very kind. They're a very good
that's
company.
A bold statement.
So thank you, thank you, thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about Kate Bishop's fighting style. One of my favorite things, and I wanted me to bring it up on the main cast, but there were four of us and it was just so crazy. I loved that she mistakenly did Black Widow's move. I'm talking about, she jumps.
Posing?
No, she jumps up and puts her thighs around that guy's head, and she's she's holding on to like a metal bar, and then
it comes out of the ceiling.
Yeah, it comes out of the ceiling, and then her body just happens to swing the guy over.
So like Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, it's a Hunakan. Right? It's a Hunakan Rana, but yes,
Hunakan Rana.
I think I don't know if I'm saying it right. That's just what I remember from when I watched wrestling when I was 13.
Yeah, WWE Hurricane.
I think it's Hurricane Rana. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong though. I really don't know.
Always said like Hurricane Rhonda.
Like, yeah, we'll just call it Hurricane Rhonda. That's fine. Especially since it's gay.
Like, let me give it a Google.
It's the like ladies' thighs that are doing the work in these Marvel movies. So yeah, I like Hurricane Rhonda.
Hurricane Rana.
Hurricane Rana? Is it really hurricane?
Hurricana, one word.
Okay. I always thought it was different. That's cool.
Weird.
Hurricane Rana. Okay. So yeah. that move though, I love that she did that. It's like a call out to it's a reference, I feel like, to Black Widow, but it's not she didn't do it on purpose, which I just thought was
really
funny.
An accident.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
I would love to see, like, later in the series, Yelena come up and actually do that. And then Kate be like, oh yeah, no, I've done that move before. Mm-hmm. It was kind of on accident. And then, like, honestly, I cannot, like, that being said, I cannot wait to see the interaction between Yelena and Kate and see how they work, you know, like, see their dynamic, their chemistry. Cause I love that, like, Yelena is so jaded about, you know, heroism and, you know, that life got my sister killed and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Kate is so, like, enamored with the hero life and, like, you know, and they're so quippy, and watching, seeing how they mesh is going to be just really, really great.
That's a good point. I their personalities could be really fun to play off each other.
Yeah.
Faux show. I like that a lot.
But yeah, Erlen, the you know, the tournament fighting versus the actual, like, you know, fighting for your life thing, that's a great headcanon. You know, it wasn't said outright, but it might be in the future. But like after hearing that from Fox and like after mulling it over the weekend, I guess, it makes a lot more sense. And that, you know, that tracks more with what I need to expect from her. And like, you know, Ashley's been really negative about Haley Steinfeld just in general.
I knew you were going to fucking do that. I knew you were going to do it.
Ashley has been really negative about Haley Steinfeld. So I understand if some people might think that Ashley has corrupted me, but this was not that. This was me saying, I don't like the fight choreography. But then after, you know, after we talk it out, I see the error of my interpretation of it, and it fits what it needs to, and I was looking at the character wrong, or rather I was looking at the character's choreography wrong.
I can see that. So what do we think about this idea that Clint getting the dinner paid for and Sam not getting the loan? Are those deliberate differences they're painting, or are they just saying two different things with that same sort of celebrity element?
I think I agree with Jess. She said it really nice. She said, I think Clint getting the dinner paid for plays in line with what Sam said when he was at the bank. Something along the lines of a lot of goodwill. It confirms the Avengers weren't getting paid, but people show their appreciation and help them out along the way. Like, how you can help them out is how you can help them out. That guy could give him a free dinner. The bank could have helped him out with a loan.
Right. I kind of think of the dinner as such a small, paltry thing. And I do think that it's clearly that, like, they're struggling with different things. Sam is struggling with, like, helping his family survive and keep their business open. And the struggle Clint is going through is more of a, like, emotional struggle. I have no doubt that Sam has probably been bought dinners, but then when it comes to, like, real, actual, substantive help, he's not getting it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's not what I meant, though.
Oh, no, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the opposite, sort of. That's how I see it. The dinner versus the, I don't doubt that Sam's gotten dinners, but, like, it's a difference between actually like being willing to help someone and make real change in their life in a big way or trust them or whatever.
It's a touchy topic. And I don't know that it's necessarily one that we have, the full scope of understanding to be able to speak on.
Sure.
As white males, like,
sure.
Excuse me. I mean, I don't have it either, but I'm not a dude.
Ashley, you're in the pizza cave.
I am a lay cis she her.
Right? Lay. What's the lay part?
I don't know. I just wanted to make it French because so many French words are like si.
Got it.
I don't know. I just rolls.
I like it. Lay cis. Like I've heard you. Yell about being called cis before, but like, if they called you lay cis,
I've probably, made it mine.
Probably fine. Yeah,
now I've made it my own. And I'm okay with
you're owning it. You're owning it as lay cis.
I like it.
She her.
But yeah, as the privileged majority here, I don't know that we necessarily have the best perspective to have that conversation, because like we can look at it and be like, no, it's not the same. You know, it's a completely different thing. But is it though? I don't know. I can't say in good conscience, I know this to be fact that it is not the same, and I don't want to discuss that.
Yeah. Plowing forward.
Okay. Well, I will say I don't mind discussing it. And I'm happy that you guys, the audience, if you have a different perspective, a different background, feel free to write in and say what you think.
Matt might be answering some of those emails.
I think that either of those interpretations are valid, I think, is the thing. Like, and that's all I'm saying is by saying that other perspective, I'm saying like, I don't know that these writers intended for those two scenes to play against each other in the way that we see them because we are so into this stuff. I think those two writers are trying to write these two characters' journeys, and those are the way things, like, they needed Clint to be getting showered with praise and not feeling it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the character he needed to be portraying. He needed to be, like, sort of hating his own celebrity because he finds it perverse. It's, like, a different thing.
It's unclear that getting praise and not feeling it is in any way tied to or tandem with Sam's journey.
Right. And I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah, well, like, exactly. Like, intent is just impossible to nail down with... You know, unless the writers come out and be like, aha, we said it this way because this.
Now, if we go forward in the journeys of these shows and we see a lot more of these sorts of situations and they make a broader point about it, but I have a feeling this is more just like these two characters' journeys being written separately, but it is still an interesting conversation of like, how is Clint being treated differently?
We need to do the standard American thing and just ignore it until it comes to a boiling point.
Good idea. Well then, all right, then plowing forward.
Juan Piberna sent us a Facebook message. Hello, everyone. The Hawkeye series, at least the first two episodes, seems to have a lesser scope than the previous Disney Plus shows. I think the Marvel Netflix show comparison is a fair one, and that's a good thing. For all the great production values in the Disney Plus shows, the Marvel shows were more relatable. So far, there has been a lot of character moments and relatively low spectacle. And I find myself a lot more interested in this story than I was in the Loki series. I hope they manage to keep this up.
Hmm. Sweet.
Man, this makes me so happy. Like, not the fact that somebody said I'm less interested in Loki than I am in this.
Right.
Like, that's neither here nor there. Like, you know, we all have our tastes. That being said, that we all have our tastes, like, I love that the MCU has something for everyone. I love that, you know, that the people that like Juan like these small grounded stories of like, it's just a person that's got some pointy sticks and is dealing with real world problems of like, I have a family, I also have PTSD, and I've done some bad shit.
Yeah.
When you generalize it like that, like, that's a lot of people in the world that have to deal with that sort of thing, right?
The pointy stick thing, yeah.
Well, just, I have a family.
No, I know.
PTSD, bad shit.
I have a bad history.
He's deaf now, like, in his one ear? That sucks.
Couldn't imagine why.
I know.
Too hard to tell.
They put a lot of thought into it, and I really appreciate, so far, the story. I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I did.
That's awesome.
But Hawkeye's the only one left, so what choice do I have?
Jeez.
I'm just kidding.
Thor's still there?
Where? I haven't seen him in so long.
Love and Thunder?
Oh, I mean, that's like, I got some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be fine with Renner for now.
What I love about what Juan says here is that, like, there's just, like, we've gotten this email about every show since WandaVision and Loki. Like, we've gotten this about every show. This is my favorite. I like it way better than this other one that was my favorite. You know what I mean? Like, and Loki's still my favorite, but like,
WandaVision still got it.
I rewatched WandaVision. I think that's definitely my favorite. I really enjoyed
WandaVision
watching
three
it
times.
In one day. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
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 Loki makes me sad. I mean, WandaVision makes me sad too, but in a different way. Catherine Hahn's there to make me feel better.
I'm partial to the big sci-fi epic. You know what I mean? Like, that WandaVision is sort of that, but it's sort of this fanciful small family story. And like, I love the big universe, multiverse sweeping stories. So it's just, I like that there's so many people that with so many different tastes loving these stories for what they are. That's so cool. Freaking cool.
Jessica, I was like, as I just spoke my exact sentiments, I'm liking it more than expected, but maybe that's because it's all I have right now. We go through these little droughts. It's nice. They make you, they're like, love it. I'm like, I will.
Just keep doing it, please.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, maybe that's part of the strategy. They know that, like, we all think right now this is the last thing we're going to get for 5 months. Maybe that's why they haven't announced the 2022 dates yet.
Yeah.
You know, they're like...
We are the Falcons under the hood.
What?
When a Falconeer is training a Falcon to, like, to be...
Sorry, thinking of the character. Didn't know which hood you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, they put the hood on them and like they break their spirit by making them dependent on the Falconeer for like everything. Like, I love you so much because you give me the food that I can eat and that's it. Like, they make them dependent on them, but it's kind of like a Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have to love you, otherwise you won't feed me. And that's kind of what we have with Marvel right now. It's I have to love you because otherwise you won't give me the content.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
Wonderful.
Thank you, wonderful. Ashley. Finally. I can finally stop making analogies.
I can stop this run-on sentence now. Someone said it was great.
Thank you. God, that's all I wanted.
Promise. I loved it.
At the beginning of my sentences now, you're just going to be like, oh, yes, that's perfect.
I've been doing that for years. When it's my turn to talk, when I think it's my turn to talk, I go, that's a great thought, Jeff. And now let me say mine.
Is that how you do it? Oh, now I know.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
Exactly.
Too busy basking.
So just a joke.
Next up, Blake Kernias sent us an email. Hey everyone, first time reaching out. Hope this is the right place to do it. I'll be brief. I'm listening to the Hawkeye reaction episode and the scene at the urinals came up. The conversation about word of mouth lore that becomes part of the city's ethos is 100% true, especially when it comes to Marvel actors where I live. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's about an hour and a half north of Atlanta. When Marvel Studios began filming movies in Atlanta around 2014, the actors come up to Chattanooga during filming breaks for leisure.
Ooh.
It's a beautiful outdoors lifestyle branded city, and it's a quick drive from Atlanta, so I don't blame them. A superhero could probably slip under the radar for, you know, a few days and get back to Atlanta without us knowing. Soon, rumors started sprouting up along the lines of, I drank a beer with Paul Rudd here, or I saw Chadwick and RDJ in the Whole Foods buffet line. So, of course, I haven't been lucky enough to meet or see one in person yet. Lupita Nyong'o got the city buzzing a few weeks ago after she visited and posted about how much she loved the city. Unfortunately, no one has met Renner at a urinal yet. If I do, though, I'll make sure I wash my hands and ask for an autograph at the appropriate time.
Dude, you should just be like, Thanos was right in his ear and walk away.
keep up the good work. Love y'all 3001. Just fight for that extra point, I guess. If you're ever in Chattanooga, beers are on me.
Hey, we're real close and I like beers. So
I like Tennessee.
I like Chattanooga a lot.
It's a fun word to say.
Good. It is indeed. Me and Alyssa went there for our anniversary like 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, nice.
And just like spent the weekend in Chattanooga. And it was freaking awesome. They have a great little area to walk. We did an escape room. It was great.
I love the cabins in the Smokies up in the Chattanooga area.
I very much want to go to the Smoky Mountains.
Mm. It's a great, great place to have a secluded, very quiet vacation time where you sit in a hot tub and just drink.
Yeah. I just did that on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know if you need Chattanooga
for that.
There's
a certain kind of like quiet that comes with the woods, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Matt, you got to go in the middle of winter.
No.
Yeah.
No, middle of winter when the hot tub is like, you know, steam is just rising off
right,
of it.
Right.
And then like it makes the drinking so much better.
Okay. I will say I did go in the middle of winter, like in January one year I went, and that's where I wrote my album Left to Burn. I wrote about half of it in Chattanooga at a cabin right outside the city.
See? There you go. Yeah. There it is.
Great time.
So inspirational.
Left to Burn by Matthew Carroll on Spotify now.
Woo. Katie's hot tub. We were in there this weekend. It was like 40, maybe 38 degrees. Mm. And we didn't, like, you get hammered in a hot tub. Like, if you're not paying attention, you are hammered.
All right. We got Bakshi. Sorry. Avni Bakshi, not Sunil Bakshi. Send us an email. Hello, Matt, Ashley, and Jeff. And if there's any other guest, hello to you too. Now onto the feedback. I freaking loved the first two episodes. That was all caps. There's a lot of exclamation marks. There is nothing I would change about them. The intro of the first episode was perfect. I loved it. And then the second episode, Echo! And then a whole bunch of random characters where it's like, very excited person here. I loved it. And the one thing I loved even more than the intro and Echo was Clint. He finally got the recognition that he deserved. Kate was a really good protagonist, and also I want to see Rogers the Musical. It was a parallel to Hamilton, which I'm a sucker for.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the feedback I can think of until then. Bye! P.S. I love the pod, and thank you for giving me my daily dose of Marvel while in school.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. Nice. Yeah, I want the Rogers Musical. Like, I want the whole thing. Somebody, yeah. Sure. There's got to be at least a full version of that song out there. Did that hit iTunes or anything?
It's on the Spotify.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I will be checking that out tonight.
I love that Clint's like, he wasn't even there. Like, why was Ant-Man there?
Ant-Man. Oh, yeah. The shot of Ant-Man. Ant-Man's always like played as kind of a joke. And like, I don't know, the way they all look silly dancing because it's like so, I don't know, anathema to like the heroic thing to be like, ta-da, jazz hands.
I don't know. Chris Evans is a tap dancer, so I felt right at home.
Oh, sure. I'm not. And tap can be, I don't know, something about that musical style of dancing with like the world at stake. It just seems so silly. And when he's like, he wasn't even there, and it cut to Ant-Man dancing, it cracked me up, man. I love it so much.
It's just like, ugh.
So good. Oh, man.
Oh, yep. It's called Save the City from Hawkeye.
Of course it is.
On Spotify.
I'm surprised it's not called I Can Do This All Day. I thought for sure.
What a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. Whoever wrote that, do better.
The music at the end when they introduced Echo was making me laugh because it was like that music thought that it was badder than it was. Like, we're bad beat. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. I don't know. It was trying to come off as like this really hard song. And I'm like, what the heck are we doing right now?
Oh, right.
It was just very funny. And it went on for a long time.
The sense that I got from it was that she was literally just playing something with a crap ton of bass, mm-hmm. just so that she could feel it.
You know? Well, right. No, I got that, but like, you know, I don't know, maybe because my husband is into music, like I expect more from a beat.
Right.
It was just funny. It could have just been the beginning of it.
Just a mild critique.
Not badass enough for Ashley.
Echo is going to be badass, and I think she deserved a more badass song.
Right. I could see that. There are moments in Marvel where the music makes them very memorable. I think a lot about Luke Cage. Oof. A lot of those Luke Cage ones.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
That was a lot of M there, sir. There were moments in Marvel the music makes them memorable.
It was good.
A tongue warm up, a lip warm up. All right, let's hit this next one.
Gregory Cayley sent us an email. Hi, Ashley, Jeff, and Matt. Hope you're all doing wonderful. First off, Christmas and Marvel are the greatest. Hawkeye is gonna become yearly watching from now on, just like Die Hard is. Yeah. I am here for all things Christmas. Second, the LARP scenes had me laughing out loud. Yeah. Just amazing comedic effect. Just really entertaining TV. The guy doing the sword sound effects and the look on Clint's face absolutely killed me. Sorry, I just started laughing thinking about that guy going cling.
Yeah, when he went in there fighting. And he took all of them out, like he was just destroying them all. I was so happy.
Oh,
I was
like,
I've dreamed of doing that at like the Ren Fair. Just taking them all, and everybody was falling like they were supposed to. It was amazing.
Yeah, I love that one where he just does the spin move, and all of them fall.
Yeah, all of them were like,
so good, so good.
Anyway, third, Jeff was talking about Kate's fighting. This is definitely intentional. Her inexperience with street fighting and being a superhero because she isn't one yet, just shown through. She's used to competition, having a referee, timed rounds, not this free-for-all. Clint has been a spy for years, trained with S.H.I.E.L.D., is an Avenger. The way he just came in and whooped ass, can't wait to see him train her. Fourth, the watch. Just a couple of theories. It's from Avengers Compound, which got destroyed. I think it's Stark Tech. Potentially a prototype wristwatch. housing for a nanoparticle Iron Man suit, and it leads into Armor Wars. Or my other idea is it's the wristwatch version of the tech used to traverse the quantum realm and leads into Ant-Man 3. Anyway, love y'all to Vormir and back, Greg.
Yeah. How much stuff is just laying around the Avengers, you know, compound that nobody's going to get?
It seems like it got destroyed and they just walked away.
Like, I'm going there tomorrow. Like, what do you mean? You know?
Right. Well, oh, so I'm sorry. Was this Avengers compound as in after Endgame?
Yeah, after it exploded, yeah. People have been just ravaging it.
Okay. Yeah, apparently. I guess I had in mind that was, I don't know why, I thought that was, they were saying that Watch was there after 2012. That's what I had in my head. Okay.
So the tag on it said Avengers Compound.
Okay, I just missed. I was thinking Avengers Tower, which is stupid because it's not even what it was called in 2012 when that all happened.
Isn't that where they said they found the Ronin suit?
Yeah, the suit and the sword,
were also there. That's what I'm saying. Like, we need to go there, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I wonder where all that's coming from, because we know that, like, when Hydra was involved in S.H.I.E.L.D., was undercover in S.H.I.E.L.D., they were, like, diverting things like that, you know, to be either sold or used by Hydra. And I wonder how this stuff's getting out like this is, you know?
Well, there was also... Tombs, Adrian Tombs,
yeah.
Where they were cleaning up after everything and then, you know, stealing that. So, like, maybe something like that. But, like, after Spider-Man Homecoming, you would think that there would be some sort of, like, better regulation or, like, a tighter hold on that sort of thing.
There was, right? Like, that's what happened at the end. That's what happened to Tombs' crew. They got taken over by Damage Control. Right? Like, Damage Control started coming in and they started taking over that kind of cleanup.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that can't happen as much anymore, but we'll see, I guess.
But they were stealing it is the thing. Like, the Tombs crew was stealing it, you know, after the fact. And that's the sort of thing I would think of as being like, you know, it's a black market thing. And, you know, from this one space where the Avengers were and nobody else was allowed to be there, like, how are those things making it to the black market if not somebody on the inside of whoever the cleanup crew is getting it out, or it's being stolen? But I would think that, like, it wouldn't be stolen because there's a lot more, like, eyes on it at this point. I don't know.
Right, you'd think so, especially Avengers Compound, because it's not like it's in the middle of the city. I think the reason with 2012... the Chitauri attack had so much left behind. It's like in the city, you know,
yeah, and there's just like across, there's it was stuff across everywhere. Manhattan.
Yeah. So just to get to Avengers Compound, like, you have to, you know, I'm sure there's like back roads and you gotta go, you have to be going there. You know, it's not like stuff's just dropping. Yeah,
there's intention there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's go to Avengers Compound and dig through the rubble a little bit.
I guess that's my point.
See, it seems like
there's probably some sort of leak or something in either whatever version of S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.W.O.R.D. is handling that stuff now.
What a shocker.
Right. No. The shocker was in on Tombs' crew.
Yeah. The shocker. You shock people. Brian Klonowski sent us an email. Said a question regarding Hawkeye. What's the deal with the watch? Oh. I'm thinking that for someone to want it more than the other items means it must have Tony Stark tech in it. Could this be a setup for Armor Wars? That show was announced way back at the Feige presentation when Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Hawkeye, and others were first announced. However, there has been very little information since, including nothing but a blink and you'll miss it title card appearance during the Disney Plus Day presentation. That tells me that Marvel doesn't want to give anything away from current shows or movies by talking about it. So my Mephisto-like speculation for this is that it is Hammer who wants the tech. Mm. Whether he is still in prison or not, he could have made connections while in prison with people who have access to Kingpin to orchestrate it for him, and he would have the funds to pay Kingpin millions for it. With the reference to the first Iron Man tower with the stained bell tower, that could be a nod to a villain from Iron Man 2 who I would love to see return. Your thoughts? Anyhow, happy holidays to everyone in the Stranded Panda podcast universe, SPPU or SPPCU, especially Ashley, Matt, and Jeff. Keep up the great work in 2022, and love you guys 3,000. Tickets to the Rogers musical, Brian Klonowski.
That's, oh man, Brian.
I like it.
I like it a lot. Thank you. I love this theory and I now want it so bad.
I just Hammer. Love Sam Rockwell.
I love Sam Rockwell. I love Vincent D'Onofrio. Yep. And as much as I love Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, his presence of like menace and danger and like pathos next to Hammer's like charisma and like humor.
Rakish good looks.
He's just a little guy.
That sounds so freaking perfect.
They're two good actors and I would just love to see them together.
Yeah, they're two great actors and I like, along with their very different like style of acting, like for those characters, they are also very different like physical presence wise, like body size.
Right.
They're very different. So like everything about them is just like opposites. And they're going to be best friends.
God, I hope so.
Best frenemies.
So theory. Marvel has really, they haven't put many of the Sony characters, other than Spider-Man, who's a big draw, into Marvel Studios movies. Like, it's been going one way, and that's because they're paying for the use of Marvel characters, and Marvel's like, we got plenty of characters, you guys try to build your old thing if you want to. So, here's my thing. If we need a replacement for Norman Osborn as like the sort of like head or the, you know, brain trust in charge of the Dark Avengers, who better than Wilson Fisk?
I was thinking who better than Justin Hammer?
He freaks out too much.
I can totally see him as the guy in the suit, if that makes sense. Like I could see him as trying to be the next Iron Man. Like I'm Hammer. I'm coming in as Iron Man. Like in Armor Wars, right, for instance. I totally see that. But I don't see him as the menacing force at the top of the building. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's not very threatening.
No. But D'Onofrio is.
So you want D'Onofrio as like the money purse behind it.
Yeah, the businessman that everyone has like who like had his law troubles in the past, but now he's just a businessman and everyone like maybe he'd be like, you know, I could totally see him being president or something like Norman is in the comics. I could totally see him being all of that Norman Osborn-ness that is in the Dark Avengers. Yeah, I don't see him getting in an Iron Man suit, but like everything else.
Mm-hmm. You know what's really funny about this? Like, and you're talking about Spider-Man characters not coming over. Kingpin's first appearance was in The Amazing Spider-Man number 50.
Right. But Marvel has the rights to use him, so.
Yeah, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I feel like there was a, when they were talking about making the Spider-Man Homecoming, there was some discussion of whether Sony had the rights to Kingpin as well. Like, is he a character similar to how Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver could have two versions because they were both X-Men and Avengers, you know what I mean? Is it possible that Sony, for instance, if they wanted to, could make their own version of Kingpin, at least in one of the other variant universes?
I doubt it.
Because they did that Daredevil. Was that Marvel?
No, that was Fox.
Ugh.
Yeah, so the Michael Clark Duncan version of Kingpin was a Fox property back in 2003.
Yeah.
So... like that having been sold to Fox and then coming back, I don't think Sony has anything to do with it.
Mm-mm. That's true.
Fox probably owned that character and sold it back.
Yeah, you're probably right. I wonder. Yeah.
I think the rights reverted.
Okay.
Like that's why they were able to do the Daredevil show, is because Fox just didn't make another one.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. That they may have batched Kingpin in with Daredevil when they sold him to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, but I love this theory. Great theory, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Freaking great.
I don't want to get hurt again. After everything we did with WandaVision, with Mephisto, I don't want to try to tie all these things into like some future property and be like, it's the watch is the thing, but it's going to lead to that. And
sure.
To the 10 rings. I mean, obviously.
No. It's a ring. It's technically a ring.
So what I'll say is it's not going to be a lead into Armor Wars.
Well, here's the thing about theorizing. And I think we should keep this in mind. Like, we're here to theorize. It's a big part of what we do on this show is like play with ideas. But when we get locked into one idea too hard, it makes it impossible to like bounce theories. So like, let's talk about something. Let's have the fun of theorizing, but let's just not get locked in on something.
WandaVision kind of did that to us on purpose.
I agree.
The Mephisto stork of it all, the red, the cicada, like everything that they were doing that was not all our fault.
I agree with that.
Because we haven't really done it since.
Yeah, we've never done it before or since. And it's not just us. It's not like it was our show. It's like the entire fan community was like screaming about Mephisto, except for me.
We almost got you a couple times.
We got him so many times.
I'm just teasing you. I had a great time theorizing about Mephisto too. I just wasn't as locked in. That's all I'm saying. It's like, let's love our theories.
No,
but not
no,
locked to them.
Excuse me. How many times?
Dig in.
We'll still see. I have my back pocket if Sarah from the town of WandaVision is going to come back and be something. Sarah Proctor.
Oh yeah.
Because you did not stop about that. I will never forget that either. And I'm just going to wait. Cause if it does happen, I will shake. You got $20 on it.
I really hope that happens. I love that actress. And supposedly Kevin Feige had to approve her. So like, what does that mean?
Maybe it was because he didn't want a name. And he's like, everyone's going to think that she's something like Mephisto because she was a demon on Buffy. He was like, that's why. Do it.
Could be.
You know what? So funny. We're bringing up Anya. One of the feedbacks I put in here for today has an Anya reference, which is pretty great. Huh. That's very funny.
Well, so I don't like the idea of not being tied to a theory that you love, and, you know, wanting to try to keep room for other theories. Like, that's bullshit. Absolutely. Get locked into one. Live it until the day you die. But what I'm doing here is reverse psychology, Matt.
Oh.
It's not going to lead to armor wars.
Oh, I see.
All right. Oh, good one.
Shut up, Ashley. Go back to your pizza cave. Oh, I hope Lucky the pizza dog is there.
Oh, he's so cute.
I hope he's dirty and even doesn't better. Get clean. Josh Morgan sent us an email. Hey, Matt, Ashley, and Jeff. They probably didn't have that kind of malice in their voice when they wrote it. I was listening to your cast and there's no mention of the toffee at the end of the dinner party. After Kate and Jack spar and Kate is leaving, Jack offers her a toffee candy. Kate looks at it and immediately gets upset and leaves. This seems to be the same toffee from Armand III. They made a point to show his monogram toffees when Kate sneaks into his place and sees the dead body. This means that Jack, aka the swordsman, possibly killed Armand III and is not a good guy trying to be a good stepfather who also happens to have a horrible mustache. I just wanted to put my two cents in. Thanks for a great cast, Josh.
I definitely know what you're talking about, the toffee, but I just thought that was the part of the misdirect. Like, that's, yeah. It, we didn't bring it up because I think it's pretty obvious he's in the family. Surely he has had access to these monogram toffees before. Like, you know?
Yeah. It's not like he's never been to that house before.
If I were Dexter, I wouldn't say he's like reached the level of killing him yet, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's uncertain at this point.
Yeah.
Like, probably. But uncertain.
That's exactly why I don't think it's him, because Kate Bishop looks at him with this thin evidence and like storms out like, oh my gosh, he's the killer. And it's like,
yeah, circumstantial at best.
To me, that means underline, he is not the killer. Like, it's just like that's just, if in the first or second episode, like the first premiere night of the show, the main character who is clearly not very good at superheroing yet sees a thin piece of evidence and goes, I knew it. They're not right. Like, they're just not right.
Well, there was two pieces of evidence. It was the piece of candy and the fact that he knew how to use swords and that guy was killed by a sword.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
But both of those are very, it's kind of the same thing. It's the same,
and
like,
you hate your step, you know, guy coming in and being like, I'm going to be your stepdad. Like all those things.
That's the other thing I think that was like, is playing in that scene, and I think it works, but it's like, I think clearly all of that is evidence to the fact that he's not the killer, not the opposite.
Yeah, I see the Mephisto behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. It was mom. He was threatening Eleanor. Yeah.
Because
like I was saying, when we did our podcast, like name. She keeps wearing red. All the bad guys are wearing red. She's like, your red dress is on your bed. I'm wearing red. The bad guys are crimson. So they're all tied. She is leading this band of bad guys based on fashion.
in true Ashley fashion, is based on fashion. The thing is, like, we didn't talk about this much at all, but like, because we had so much to talk about on the other show, but she also has that line where she's like, now that you're about to become of age or whatever, you can finally come work for the family business, the security business. Her daughter, who she has been having trained as an assassin her whole life, like not as an actual assassin, but she's been having her trained in all these crazy martial arts, gymnastics, archery, sword play. Like she's been training her daughter as a superhero. I'm thinking villain her whole life. And now she's like, wear the red dress. It's like inviting her into whatever murder cult she's a part of, and like I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I like the murder cult,
the Crimson Murder Cult. What was their stupid gang called?
Tracksuit Mafia.
Tracksuit Mafia.
Ugh.
Sorry. Mafia. I think they were just called Bro.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Did they
say Tracksuit Mafia in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hawkeye said it.
Okay.
Hawkeye said it a couple
times. I thought
you said
something like the tracksuit.
I thought it was the Crimson Mafia because they're all wearing red.
They are wearing red.
It was the tracksuit mafia.
All right, let's hit these last two. And I screwed up. I put these are patrons. we normally put patrons at the top. I put them at the back.
We're saving the best for last.
Oh.
My bad. I mistakenly miscategorized them and ran into the non-Hawkeye feedback.
Aaron Flynn says, hello, my absolute favorite podcasters. Before I forget, total congrats on your award. You all deserve it. You keep this entertaining little light on for the rest of us who can get a little lost. There's always a home base, a true north, a guy who says, yeah, but I've been down here before and I know the way out. Thank you so much for that. Aww. I'm only a quarter of the way through the Hawkeye 1 and 2 cast, and I've got a theory. Bunnies, it must be bunnies.
The Anya reference?
Yeah, there's the Anya reference. Yeah. I just wrote back, or maybe midgets. Like, to this whole long message, that's all I wrote back.
Fantastic. And Aaron says, what, no Buffy fans? Sorry, I'll get to my point.
Hey, we got you,
Aaron.
When the Hawkeye series was announced, there was a lot of focus on the Young Avengers creation, especially after the introduction of Wiccan and Speed in WandaVision and Yelena Belova in Black Widow. But Jeff said something in the cast that got me thinking, and I apologize if this has already been brought up before. Jeff, Matt, or possibly Matthew Fox was discussing how Clint was having to reconcile his Clint/Papa Barton and Hawkeye roles. Then another of the three chimed in stating how he was having to reconcile three parts of himself, the previously mentioned identities, and Ronan. This triggered a thought in me because it made me think of how similar this was to Black Widow when she had to become the de facto leader of the Avengers after the snap. Through all of the Avengers movies, and now her solo film, her struggle was to reconcile the parts of her assassin, spy, family. And she ultimately achieved this, led the Avengers through a horrible time, and stuck through it until a resolution became real, and then sacrificed herself at peace. Hawkeye is not at peace, nor will he be, until with the new young recruits, Kate Bishop, Yelena Belova, potentially Wiccan and Speed, and the new, quote-unquote, heroes, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Ant-Man, the Wasp, Doctor Strange, he creates a new Avengers initiative, complete with compound, resources, strategies, etc. Look at the current situation. Bruce is still hurt and going between Hulk and Banner. Carol bails on meetings. Thor's off in space with the Guardians. Clint's the fixer. He always has been. See Wanda in Age of Ultron. See Civil War. He needs to fix the Avengers to become a real unit again. Especially if the multiverse is cracking. The Dark Avengers / Thunderbolts are coming on deck and Kang's arrival is imminent. Secret Wars is coming and Galactus might be on the way. A solid leader will be needed. Clint Barton doesn't know his role right now because he's avoiding the only one he can take. Sorry for the long message. I'm probably way off base. I can't get it out of my head, though. Love you all, 3000, Aaron.
I think this has a lot of merit.
I think it does.
We talked a lot about the possibility of Clint dying. I have particularly, because I think it could work here, but because of the way they started this story, this doesn't feel like a Clint Barton swan song, because he's not coming in here like on top being like, I am Clint Barton Hawkeye, wise Avenger, and I'm going to like pass on my knowledge before I die kind of thing. This is like Clint Barton broken, and he needs to like find himself. And I think that's the story we're watching here, is him finding himself.
Yeah.
Now,
and we're maybe watching him find himself as the person who gets the bad people together, right?
Yeah. Well,
my thing with this, how long is this after Endgame, they said?
2 years.
Where is he with Wanda? Why hasn't he called, contacted, figured out what's going on with Wanda? I figured like he would be the only one who would be able to like talk her back off whatever ledge she's on. So the only way to not have somebody there for her like that is to kill him off here. But if this is much past,
yeah, this
whatever
is much
was happening
past
with Wanda, like, I don't know. It's always in the back of my mind. Like, how come nobody is worrying about Wanda? If anybody could find her, it'd be Clint too.
Possibly, but this is happening way after the fact, and we don't know what was happening with Clint like right after the end game. I have a feeling like, you know, it seems like Wanda went to this place that no one really knew about to see the house that her and Vision had planned to have together, and then this all happened, and it may just be that, you know, S.W.O.R.D. didn't contact Barton because he was too close to it. You know what I mean? Like they, like Darcy and Wu and Monica kind of flipped and stopped S.W.O.R.D. from their evil plan. But like, if S.W.O.R.D. was planning to like take out Wanda, they probably wouldn't have brought in an Avenger, you know?
Right. And I'm just like, after, you would think that Wu or Darcy, who all know that he's an Avenger, would have at least let him know. So I'm interested to see, there's got to be some kind of explanation at some point.
I just think now she is off the grid. Like that's what that last scene is about. Like she's whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's like with Multiverse of Madness. Like, how long is that going to be after everything? Right. How long is Spider-Man? Like, I need a timeline to know. I just need to know.
Well, yeah, me too. And we will. That's an interesting question, because Spider-Man seems like it's happening immediately after the last Spider-Man, which was happening like 6 months after Endgame or something like that.
Right.
Spider-Man, yeah, it wasn't Far From Home was pretty close.
Well, in the most recent trailer, he said 1 week. You know, there's been 1 week that I've had in my life that was, you know, fine or normal. Mm. And that was when she found out. And she found out during 2.
Right.
So it's like at most a week afterward.
Well, the week he's talking about is the week from when she found out to when the world found out. That was the week it felt normal. So we don't know how long happened between the week the world found out and when he finally goes to Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Like, there could be a 2 year period where everything's spiraling out of control because the world knows, and he's just like, nothing is normal. I haven't had a normal week since that 1 week 2 years ago. You know, that could be, but it does seem, I mean, it seems like, at least in the trailers, it shows that scene where they're swinging and shows that J. Jonah Jameson scene. And you're like, it seems like it's picking up right where the last one left off, but we don't know if there's going to be like a montage of like, here's what happened this year, or, you know, but I doubt it. I feel like the movie's going to be a little more fast paced than that.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect Endgame to say 5 years later either.
Right.
Yeah. So, I just gave it a cursory goog. It looks like Hawkeye takes place 1 year after the events of Endgame.
Oh, really?
Okay. In the final weeks of 2024.
I thought they said 2 years at some point in the thing. Is 2 years since something.
I didn't remember that happening at all.
I may have made it up. It was early in the morning.
Matt's known to do that sort of thing.
Oh yeah. you guys, you can't trust me. Don't trust me.
Yeah. Okay. Last but certainly not least, we have Jeffrey James, a longtime patron, says, in a certain sense, Thanos was right.
Bum, bum, bum. Jeffrey James is evil.
Controversy. While the psychological price was very high, the result would have been a massive labor shortage and housing glut, similar to that experienced after the Black Death. The blip would have virtually wiped out poverty and greatly raised the standard of living for almost everybody who survived. After 5 years, many people would have mourned and moved on, so the sudden appearance of the blip and the subsequent demand to return to the economically cruel status quo ante would have been a disaster for many who hadn't been blipped. Yes, there'd be some joy at the returning of loved ones, but maybe not, say, at the return of your filthy rich uncle who was an abusive asshole while he was alive and by default left all his money to you when he was thankfully blipped, and now wants it all back. One aspect of the blip that the MCU hasn't coped with is how it would have changed religion. The sudden resurrection of billions of dead would, of course, resulted in the collapse of Christianity and Islam and the birth of new religions that would have made, say, QAnon look positively reasonable.
Okay, there's a lot in there.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Lots to unpack there. I don't know that it would have collapsed religion because people that are religious, for right or wrong, will make whatever fit their religion. And that's why it's religion. you know, like that is a core belief, and they'll probably make whatever the situation, they'll just probably believe it's part of the end times or,
well,
the
there
rapture,
was more of a science behind what happened. Suddenly we're dealing with aliens. Suddenly it's, sure, you know, a person or a being did this and he didn't do it with any kind of godly power. It was, you know, space magic, which is a lot easier to swallow sometimes than like a religion thing. Yeah. But the people who will believe in the religion is like, you know, this is all part of, you know, what we're supposed to go through. I don't think it would have. I think it might have made it stronger.
Yeah, it could have. I do think that there would be people's, it would affect religion for sure, but I don't think it would necessarily wipe any religion out. It might make them focused on a certain thing, or it might make them reinterpret the scripture in a way that is different. Like, you know, start believing, oh, that verse, that's what that verse meant, you know, like stuff like that. I'm reminded of Midnight Mass, which I know you watch too, Ashley, right? It is a show about religious people, and then they encounter a horror element, and it's about how they recontextualize that horror element into their religion, and it is fascinating. If that sounds interesting to you at all, go watch Midnight Mass. I don't think I actually liked it.
Except for the last, you know, until you get to the last 10 minutes, and you're like, ugh. What is happening?
We'll have to talk about that off cats. I don't want to spoil it, but I think it's fascinating. It's on Netflix. It's great. But
yeah. For a second, and you know that it's not a. Okay. I'm sorry.
We'll talk about it later.
Anyway.
Yeah. I didn't want to spoil what horror element it was because. Mm-mm. Yeah, I think it's so good.
There's not much of a mystery.
There's a reveal 3 episodes in, and it's a great reveal. I think it's a really great reveal. Anyway, but that show is a study in how religious people would look at a crazy supernatural event and how they would recontextualize it. And I think that's kind of it was pretty fascinating.
They would just make it theirs.
Yeah, probably. They explain, you know, religions explain things in through their lens, and that's probably what would happen. As for Thanos being right, I think speaking economically, I think you're only looking at the demand side of the curve there, Jeffrey James.
David Attenborough keeps saying it in every documentary he does, is there's too many people. It's a problem.
Well, sure. That can be the case, but with a sudden reduction in the number of people, yes, more money would be flowing to the less people, but there's also the supply side of all the things those people would want to buy or do, or the collapse of supply chains, like all that stuff would also happen.
I mean, we're experiencing that right now.
Yeah. Well, we're experiencing the supply chain, but not the demand diminishment. So like we're experiencing the bad part without the good part. I think to say it would be good economically is oversimplifying. I think there are certain things that would be good and certain things that would be bad. But I will say, just like they talked about in Falcon Winter Soldier, like after 5 years, the world would have adapted. And then when everyone comes back, now that's a problem. Cause then like you don't have the supply chains to supply. I've been saying this for a long time. Where's the food going to come from? Cause they're planning now for half the world to exist. And then suddenly that rest of the world comes back and there's, it would be a crazy world when everybody came back.
It's been 5 years. We've adjusted. Now you're doubling the population effectively.
Yeah.
It's not you're bringing everybody back to the same resources. You're doubling the population.
Infrastructure has changed, you know, like massively. That would be a real problem.
Yeah. It looked a lot like, you know, what we saw of like when Hawkeye was going around killing people. Sorry, when Ronan was going around killing people. You know, we're kind of led to believe that the world just kind of paused, you know, like there was trash everywhere and, you know, there were still cars all over the place.
For some reason, boats gathered around Lady Liberty. Like some of it, I was like, is that what would happen? Like, would we just leave boats in the harbor? I guess
not after 5 years. I'd be like, damn, look at my new boat. You know, everybody who didn't have one, just go get yourself a boat. You don't got a car, you do now.
I'm on a boat. Don't you ever forget. I'm on a boat and
I got my flippy floppies.
It was a little dusty, but I, you know, it still had the keys in it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I had to wipe out the previous owner.
Sage that bitch out. Yeah.
Get a dust buster and you can own anything in the land.
You come out of your car looking like Tom Cruise in World of Worlds. You're like, this must have been Jim.
Oh, gosh.
Shit. Oh, man. I can't get Jim out of the seats.
But I always wanted Jim's Ferrari, and now I have Jim's Ferrari.
It's mine. So is his house.
And I also must comment on Jeffrey James's talking about the emotional impact of the blip and how like the positive effect of some people, the blipping would, yes, that would be sad, or the negative effect of good people blipping would be sad, but there would also be the positive effect of some bad people blipping. That is true. But, and you can call me religious if you want to, because this is kind of my religion. I do believe there is more good in people than bad in people. So like, I think that on whole, we are good to each other more than we are bad to each other. So I think that there'd be more sadness than happiness that your people went away.
Ashley and I are looking at the camera just like
you haven't met my mom.
Yeah. I've met my dad.
Yeah. Yep. But I've met my dad. we all have our interesting. We all have a parent that drove us into podcasting. I'll have a parent, a dark parent.
Just need people to tell me I'm doing good in my life.
I came here for the validation.
To congratulate me on my award, Dad.
These people congratulate me on my award,
but he
Dad.
Couldn't even do that. I don't even know who he is, so whatever. Mom! No. I was yelling at the wrong parent.
I thought that was from my perspective.
It is now.
I felt it. Yeah. I felt it. Oh, I was like, man. Well, I guess I don't have to say it. Someone else did.
The good holiday talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, thank God for that.
All right, well, let's get to see what the live chat's been saying. What you got, Ash?
Okay, Voice Inject said, hi from Toronto. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hawkeye has turned me into a Haley Steinfeld stan, and I would die for more tuxedo scenes. She was adorbs. I really hope the nanomachine that Dr. Octopus seemingly absorbs in the No Way Home trailer creates a narrative path for a superior Spider-Man story project. Mm. I made it through that sentence.
There were
that
a lot of S's
a good
there.
One. Yeah, a lot of M's, a lot of S's.
Well, M's and S's. And, okay. I don't know the superior Spider-Man story. Is that the one where he gets the arms?
What?
The Doc Ock arms? Does he ever do that?
No, Superior Spider-Man was a situation where... this is a batshit crazy one, but...
Professor Parker?
Doc Ock, like the spirit the soul of Doc Ock had possessed the body of Peter Parker and was being a hero Spider-Man, but like kind of being a darker asshole kind of hero.
Okay.
So he was the superior Spider-Man.
Interesting.
It was weird.
That is weird. Huh. Interesting. There's a moment in the trailer. Wait. There's a moment in the trailer where he absorbs.
Oh yeah,
you didn't nanotech.
When he has him like upside down, he's pulling the pieces off of him, and Peter's having to move the suit around like Tony does against Thanos.
Oh, I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
What is my damage? Dang, crazy. Crazy. Anything else in the live feedback?
And then TJ Stafford said, I think the watch is a one-of-a-kind Dora watch that Tony got to replace the one he lost in Iron Man 3.
We're done here.
That's great. I like it. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us so much. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. I did want to say at the end of the show, thank you so much to the patrons. Really, really appreciate you guys. I feel like I haven't had enough time to say it lately. A lot of you guys have joined the Patreon lately. It really is making the show possible that it exists. So thank you so much for being a part of it. And if you would like, are out there and you've considered it, patreon.com/MCUcast is where you can find the Patreon. And other than that, that's all we got for this week. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
I was going to steal it from you. Bye.
You were.
Got real used to saying it.
Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.